from rejection is a long, hard road. And there are times where we have simply felt like we got up out of the wrong side of the bed, and we're envious of those people whose life seems all sweetness and life. What are we to do? Well, with Jesus, there's an answer coming. In Jesus' day, there were some very strict rules. Rules that required absolute adherence to. And these laws drew a boundary between those who were in and those who were out. Now, they told you what you could do and what you could not do, what you could eat and what you could not eat. Even if it was tasty, you couldn't eat it. And woe betide the person who broke and crossed those boundaries. In the world in which Jesus lived, there were two groups of people, and they were different. There were Jews, and there were Gentiles, and they were like water and oil. They didn't mix, and when they did come together, there was this hostile murkiness that happened. Observant Jews, when they mixed with Gentiles, they had to go home, and they began the process of these elaborate washings, these purification washings. And food was separated by what was clean and what was unclean. Now, if you're interested in knowing which food was clean and which were unclean, take a little bit of time and look at Leviticus chapter 11. It will help you. Now, I have a confession to make this morning. I happen to like some of the clean animals that are listed in the list. And I also don't like some of the animals that are listed in the list. And most of which I haven't even tried because I haven't lived long enough and I'm not adventurous enough to try, I guess. I have no desire to even try some on the list. And the same goes for unclean animals. I like bacon. That's in the unclean list. Oh, you know, it was so bad that if you touched the carcass of an unclean animal, you were unclean. And you had to wait to sundown to make things right. And so the Jews ate what was clean, and the Gentiles ate whatever they wanted. You can see the problem when the Jews and the Gentiles come together. If a Gentile wanted to become a Jew, which was possible, there was a diet change. And when the Jews did, when the Gentiles did become Jews, they were really never accepted as, you know, really true Jews. So here's the problem that Jesus faced. The Jews and the Gentiles didn't get along. They were separated by food laws and purity traditions. And in the Jewish mindset, faithfulness to God required them to be separate. If they remained separate, they hoped for liberation from the Gentiles, and then everything would be good. And so Jesus comes into the picture, and what does he do? Surprise! He steps over all the traditions and even some of the biblical commandments. And of course, when Jesus did that, it got him into hot water, especially with a group of people called Pharisees. Now, Pharisees were the elite of the day. They had money, they had position, they had education, and they separated themselves from others because they understood themselves to be better than everybody else because they kept the law as they understood it. In today's language, we have a gesture that would describe the Pharisees when we would talk about them. We would go, you know that gesture? Yeah. And so Jesus avoids the Pharisees. And where does he and he heads off, and where does he go? Surprise. He goes to Gentile territory. And once he arrives at this house, a Gentile woman hears about Jesus. And she boldly and desperately falls at Jesus' feet and asks Jesus to heal her daughter who was back home. You know, to be demon-possessed in that day made you unclean. Like eating Gentile food. Like being in Gentile territory. Like being a Gentile. And so this poor woman had three strikes against her. She was a woman, she was a Gentile, and she had an unclean, demon-possessed daughter. She was clearly out. But she had hope. Maybe she remembered the story of how Elijah came into town one day and he did something with flour and oil, and she could make bread out of that water and that oil, and she never ran out of the stuff to make bread, and she was fed. It's an amazing story. So what did Jesus do? You're right. Nothing. Oh, but what about the disciples? They got in the action. They began pleading with Jesus, send this woman away because she keeps on yelling and disturbing everything. You know, this was one feisty lady. She doesn't give up. She bows and she says to Jesus, help me. And what does Jesus do? Surprise! He responds rather harshly to the woman. And he says, you know, it's not good to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Imagine you're a disciple in that room and you heard Jesus saying that. What would you do? I can see the disciples, yay, Jesus, you told her, boy, you sure put her in her place, and they were high-fiving each other and they were all excited. Or would you go, huh? What just happened? We already know that the disciples often asked Jesus to explain the stories that he told, like the one in the gospel today. And this is no different. You see, Jesus understood that there was an order of events that had to happen. And Jesus had a place in that order. God would restore Israel first, and then he would restore the rest of the world. Jesus came to tell Israel that salvation was near and that God was going to throw open the doors of the kingdom of God to the whole world. And so the children Jesus was referring to were his disciples, and to heal this demon-possessed girl would bring undue attention that would distract Jesus from actually dealing with his disciples. And of course, we know that Jesus favors healing of all people. But he just needed to feed his children first. And so it was common in that day for the Jews to consider themselves the children of God. And the rest were, well, they called them dogs. So what does Jesus do? As a good teacher, he breaks some rules, he provokes a response, and he loses an argument. And he is really quite happy to lose this argument. You know, I like this woman in this story. She's got chutzpah. You know, she doesn't complain. She doesn't walk away. But she agrees with Jesus and adds, even the dogs feed on the crumbs under the table at the master's table. You know, friends, I believe this about Jesus, that no matter where he went and who he came in contact with, I believe that Jesus was always looking for faith in people. And Jesus pushed whatever faith this woman had right to the edge, and she steps up to the plate. And Jesus responds as only Jesus could. Jesus healed her daughter at her house from the house they were in. What just happened? This girl and this woman were no longer second in line. They weren't dogs underneath the table anymore, but they were full members of the people of God. If Jesus wanted to serve his disciples first and the woman wanted to benefit from that, they both got what they wanted. The unclean woman gave Jesus an opportunity to illustrate to his disciples what he had just been teaching his disciples about what it meant for spiritual faithfulness. I want to believe that the disciples were beginning to understand what spiritual cleanliness was too. My friends, it's not about pure diets. It's not about who's first, who's second. It's about pure hearts. That's what it's about. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. We can boldly come into the presence of Jesus. And in our desperation and our hope, we don't throw up our hands in despair, but we build on what we know about Jesus. And he comes today into our lives. And this is what he says. He says, "My children, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Come to me. Come to me and I will care for you. And let's build our lives on that hope."